Good morning, Connecticut. And to our friends across the Sound, it's Director of Public Affairs, John Vokette. Thanks for tuning in to Connoisseur Media's award-winning public affairs program for the people, bringing you the latest information to help address concerns in our communities tied to youth, the economy, public health and safety, aging, education, and the environment. Today, we're going to open up introducing you to plogging, which incorporates two important activities, picking up litter while jogging, and how you can discover plogging on September 20th as Keep America Beautiful launches its 2020 Trash Dash in Stamford and enlists ploggers all over the world and across Connecticut virtually. Then we're going to get closer to free with the folks at Smilo Cancer Hospital and the Yale Cancer Center. They helped me survive cancer, along with a fellow cancer survivor we'll meet who's raised more than $150,000 for the cause. Together, we're going to tell you about and clue you in on being part of the 10th anniversary Closer to Free ride that's happening virtually this year on September 12th. And rounding out our program of virtual activities, we'll catch up with the CEO of the Center for Family Justice and hear about how this critical human service agency is doing in a COVID world and invite you to support the center's Speaking of Women virtual gathering on September 22nd. We'll be back with these segments and more on the award-winning For the People with me, John Vokette, right after this reminder. Are you a crafter or do you know one? How about a musician that'd like to play out on the porch? Teach workshops? Well, every Saturday from 9 to 2, local crafters and artisans will be set up outside at New England Young at Heart at 308 Oxford Road in Oxford. Step inside the nonprofit serving seniors and caregivers throughout the region and explore the local handmade store for all your gifting needs. The agency also offers outreach programs along with limited nutritious meal services. Want to learn more? Just click on neyoungatheart.com. All right. Well, we're starting the show off with a little bit of a laugh among dog lovers. If anybody has their radio on or they're listening to the podcast and they hear a dog barking and you have one in your house, it's my guest, Dr. Helen Lohman. She is president and CEO of Keep America Beautiful. And we're going to introduce you, if you don't know about it already, we're going to introduce you to plogging, and we're going to invite you out to support Keep America Beautiful, which envisions an entire country in which every community is clean, green, and beautiful. And that's going to be happening with your help at a event that's happening both in person and virtual in Stamford, Connecticut on September 20th. We're going to be talking about that in just a few minutes. But in the meantime, I do want to bring Helen on. Helen, thanks for joining us this morning. And if you don't mind, I mean, that was a viciously short introduction of an organization that does so much good for communities and the environment and social justice. Give us a little bit more about what Keep America Beautiful is. It's a catchphrase that we've been hearing about since, I guess, the mid-60s, mid to late 60s, but it's actually an organization, and you guys do incredible work. Tell us more about it.
Thank you. Yeah, it's great to be here with you, and we are super excited about the upcoming Trash Dash that's going to be happening in Stamford that you already talked a little bit about, but Let me start with your question about Keep America Beautiful and what we're up to these days. We are 67 years old, so we've been around a long time. And we're the largest community improvement organization in the United States. We have a collection, a great group of 650 affiliates across the United States and millions of volunteers. And they work at the community and grassroots level to end littering, to improve recycling, and to beautify their communities through greening public spaces. So like planting trees and different plants and putting up park benches and that type of thing. So it's a huge, big movement. And what we're going to be doing, we have this program called Trash Dash. And Trash Dash is plogging. It's a plogging event. And do you know what plogging is, John?
I do not. I looked at the setup and I knew we were going to learn what plogging is, but I did not read to the back of the page of the book to find out what it was.
So plogging is picking up litter while jogging. So it's basically came from Sweden. It was a program that was started in Sweden. And here in the United States, Keep America Beautiful has taken the lead to promote plogging. And our event on September 20th is going to include, you know, anyone who wants to come out in person can join us at Mill River Park in Stamford at 8:30 in the morning and you know, go out and help us clean up Stamford. Now, we are going to be implementing the highest safety standards that we can possibly implement. We'll be having groups go in waves so that there's only a few people going at a time. Every you know, few minutes, every 30 minutes or so, there'll be a new group that leaves. We're asking people to wear masks, to wear gloves. We'll be providing people with equipment to litter pickers, you know, the sticks that pick up the litter.
Sure.
We'll be providing them with bags and gloves and a t-shirt as well that marks that they're participating in the event. And then in addition, if folks are hesitant to come out in person then and join the group, join the event, we also are having a virtual cleanup day. And so just, you know, in your neighborhood or at your local park or at your local beach, you can participate on your own, really anywhere in the world. And so anyone can go to KAB.org and register for the event and get more information about it. But we're excited that it's going to be virtual this year. And we hope that a lot of people will join us, whether they come to Stamford, to Mill River Park, or whether they just decide to do something in their own community.
Plogging around any of Connecticut's 169 towns and beyond, anywhere in the world, participating virtually with their cohorts in Stamford on September 20th. It really sounds like this is the ultimate in both personally beneficial and environmentally friendly activities. You get a little, work up a little sweat while you're making your community more pristine.
Absolutely. And the other thing is, you know, if you decide to just do it on your own, we'd love for you to take pictures, post it on Instagram or Twitter, tag Keep America Beautiful, and use the hashtags Do Beautiful Things and hashtag Trash Dash, just to join in this, you know, worldwide movement and show the great work you're doing in your own in your own community and on your own street and park. So there's lots of different ways that you can participate.
Very good. Well, Keep America Beautiful, as we saw, has been doing great environmental work and engaging communities and celebrating diversity since the early 1950s, actually. I said started hearing the catchphrase in the 60s, but that's just because I wasn't around when the organization started in 1953. Close, but not there yet. But one of the cool things about going to their website, KAB.org, for Keep America Beautiful, is you can find out how your donations make a difference and may even be playing a role in helping the folks that are out there on September 20th in the greater Stamford area. If you aren't going to be able to participate or you raise just $25, it buys gloves and a box of trash bags. Take it up to $50 and you get two shovels, two rakes, all toward participating and making good tools for the cleanup. Our guest, Dr. Helen Lohman, talked about those litter picker sticks. You make a $100 donation or raise $100, and it gets five of those litter pickers out in your neighborhood, taking care of making things more clean and pristine. And if you take it up and raise $500 or more, every $500 you raise can be used to plant and maintain a new tree. And that's something I did want to touch on, Dr. Lohman, is the tree planting aspect of this, because as you know and I know, no matter where you were after the tropical storm a couple of weeks ago and a litany of storms over the past decade or so, we are losing a lot of trees. And I don't think that we're replacing nearly as many as we are losing, both to old age and the weather. So this tree planting initiative is one of particular importance, especially in our cities.
Absolutely. You know, I actually can speak very personally about this because I had a tree fall on my roof 3 weeks ago in that storm. And I agree with you. One of the organizations we partner very closely with is an organization called Retreat. And they are redefining disaster relief through tree planting. And so they do great work going into communities to plant trees after disasters. And it's exactly what you're talking about. And we work very closely with them. So the tree planting aspect is important. You know, that aspect of what Keep America Beautiful does is important for many reasons. Disaster relief, for a survivor of a disaster, it's a sign that their community is coming back when they see trees being planted. But it's also important because those, you know, trees absorb greenhouse gases, and with climate change happening at a faster rate, it's important that we are able to replace trees that we lose.
Yeah, countering the carbon monoxide in the air with the oxygen they produce, as well as the environmental health they promote in the soil and the grounds in our communities, a critical initiative of Keep America Beautiful. On the other hand, while we really have no control of trees that come down due to bad weather, something we all have control over is that tendency to come out of a store or in some form of engagement where you're protecting yourself with gloves and masks and wanting to just get them off you and throw them down on the ground and walk away. And I know this is something that also raises the ire to the extent that Dr. Helen Lohman can get angry at people for littering. But when it comes to PPE, we don't want to see that on the ground. And that is a particular focus of this year's Trash Dash, right?
It absolutely is. Unfortunately, we have seen a huge increase in PPE litter across the world, frankly, because of the COVID pandemic. And, we're just really asking folks to please put those items in the trash can. Unfortunately, we're seeing it everywhere. We're seeing wipes, we're seeing gloves, we're seeing masks. I get it. People are scared. They want to not expose themselves or their family to anything that's dangerous. Yeah. But by putting it on the ground, you're exposing possibly, somebody who works in the store you just came out of. And so what's important is to get it into the trash can. Those things are not currently recyclable. And so we just ask people to put it in the trash, not put it on the ground, because the first rain that comes, all of those items will be washed into our waterways and into our lakes and our rivers and then onto the oceans, where it can be very, very harmful to marine life.
Yeah, and they also can compromise the operation of waste cleanup mechanics and the cleanup operations, the equipment that's used to keep the waters clean and purified. If they get too much of that PPE and wipes and things building up in the mechanics of wastewater treatment, it may cause those treatment plants to temporarily have to shut down, which diverts some of that waste directly into our streams and rivers and eventually the ocean. So there's a lot of reasons why we need to keep that PPE off the ground. And I really appreciate Keep America Beautiful for using that as a focus and giving people an opportunity to get a little bit mad about it. You're asking people to tell about their experiences with littered PPE, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. You know, we actually also, another opportunity for people to sort of tell their stories about the things that they're doing, to help their community right now during this time. We started a website called dobeautifulthings.org and have invited organizations and individuals to tell us their story about the beautiful things that they're doing right now, you know, during this challenging time. And so, you know, we invite people to go there and share.
Excellent. In the last few minutes that we have with you, Dr. Lohman, we want to talk about my birthday, October 28th, because it just happens to be Vision for America Day as well. Let's hear about that. Another event going virtual, right?
Yeah, another event going virtual. We've shifted so much of our work to virtual, but we have in our history, 35 years of doing a gala event. Every year. It's usually in New York City, and this year our gala is actually going to be virtual, and we're calling it Vision for America. And it's going to be a really unique, special event, and everyone is invited to participate. We have some incredible speakers lined up, and lots of different ways that everyone can participate in that event. I'll tell you, and happy birthday to you.
Thank
on
you.
October 28th. we'll all be celebrating together.
Yay.
Another event that we have coming up is America Recycles Day on November 15th. Is a Keep America Beautiful initiative that's been around quite a long time. And we ask everyone to make a pledge to recycle on November 15th. And to make that pledge, you can also go to our website closer to that date and to pledge to do your part to recycle.
Very good. Well, we appreciate making your acquaintance, Dr. Lohman. Really appreciate you spending some time talking about the greater goals of Keep America Beautiful, but how we can apply that right here in our own yard, on our own street, in our neighborhood, in our community, and hope that folks will consider coming down for the day of plogging on September 20th in Stamford for this in-person trash dash, or getting involved virtually wherever they may be in the world on that day. To find out more about everything that Keep America Beautiful is doing to make America beautiful and engage you in the process, go to kab.org. And once again, Dr. Lohman, thank you for joining us on the program this morning. Great to meet you. Well, when we say the words closer to free, we're really touching a lot of people here in Connecticut and especially in the greater New Haven area, especially the folks that helped save my life at Smilo Cancer Center and the life of my fellow cancer survivor and new friend Steve Chase, who we'll be talking to in just a few minutes. I want to take the opportunity to invite and encourage everyone to participate in this year's 10th annual Smilo Cancer Center's Closer to Free Ride, which is happening on September 12th, in a year when the global pandemic has changed everything. The 2020 Closer to Free Ride presented by Bank of America needs to be redesigned. And while public health concerns and local regulations are preventing them from gathering together in person on September 12th, everybody can still unite from wherever they are to deliver the hope, love, and support that Smilow Cancer Center Hospital and Yale Cancer Center need. And we'll be telling you a little bit more about why that need is acutely important now with Vice President of Development at Yale New Haven Hospital. Kevin Walsh is on the line with us as well. Kevin, thanks for joining us on the program. Great to meet you.
Thanks for having me.
So first of all, let's talk a little bit more broadly about the Yale New Haven Hospital Smilow partnership and synergy that's been going on in New Haven now over a decade. It's, as I mentioned at the top of the show, your team treated me and got me through my cancer situation, as they are doing with Steve. Tell us a little bit for folks that may hear of Smilow and hear of Yale New Haven Hospital and the Yale Cancer Center, but may not even realize that the two are kind of interconnected.
Well, that's true, Steve. And the fact that this year was actually Smilow's 10th anniversary of opening, and it's unfortunate that that coincided with the 10th anniversary of the Closer to Free Ride, and of course the pandemic hit. Mm. But one thing I wanted to offer up to viewers was Smilow Cancer Hospital being the newest pavilion at Yale New Haven Hospital. It was built with a pandemic in mind. And that being said, all the inpatient rooms are negative pressure rooms. Thus, when the pandemic hit, we decanted Smilow of all cancer patients and moved them to other locations, most notably the St. Raphael campus, and we turned it into a COVID hospital. And we did that in the matter of a weekend. And What's the good news is that we've as a state, Connecticut has gotten the COVID-19 under control, and we peaked out at around 470 inpatients with COVID, and I'm happy to say that today we have less than 20, and we have begun the transition of reopening Smilow as a cancer hospital. Unfortunately, when the pandemic hit, we had to stop all elective procedures, and thus you cut your revenues basically in half. And that's why this year's Closer to Free Ride is so important, because we need the support this year more than ever to support the research that happens at Yale Cancer Center and to support the great inpatient cancer care that happens at Smilow on a daily basis. So I encourage everybody to participate, and I know we can't ride together. We will ride apart, but there'll be virtual opening ceremonies at 8 a.m. on September 12th. Please, you can go to ridecloserTofree.org, and you can stream it. And then go on your ride. You can ride your stationary bike. You can ride your Peloton. You can walk on a walker. You can jog. Or you can ride a bike. But we just want everybody to know that there's going to be a ride on September 12th, and we will have the Smilow salute, which we've had in years past. That will be done online, as well as a finish line celebration. One of our sponsors is kind enough to have donated a beverage for all riders over 21 so they can celebrate at the end of their rides. And we anticipate a big number of riders participating on September 12th.
Well, Kevin, I'm glad you mentioned research in there, because as I indicated, I was proud to be enlisted into a research study that has made quite an impact and globally in regards to staging the type of cancer that I had. But can you speak from your perspective? Because I think people may not think about the fact that you're not only doing so much incredible good at Smilow with the hands-on care of every single person that comes through the doors, but at the same time, there's a whole nother thing going on there, and that is enlisting and bringing in patients to participate in the research that is making groundbreaking differences, coming close to, if not touching on, cures for various types of cancers over the years.
Yeah, you know, Steve, I'm glad you mentioned that, because clinical trials is one of the key things that the monies that are generated by our writers and volunteers support at Smilow Cancer Hospital. I'm glad to hear that you are in a successful clinical trial with us. Before we opened Smilow, we averaged about less than 100 clinical trials a year. Now we have in excess of 1,000 clinical trials ongoing at Smilow Cancer Hospital and Yale Cancer Center. And those are keys to doing exactly what you said, discovering new cures for various cancers. So rest assured, 100% of the dollars raised by riders and volunteers goes to support many things at Smilow Cancer Hospital, most notably clinical trials.
Well, while I'm John and Steve is Steve, we are both sharing the cancer survivor label, which we both got unwantingly foisted on us the day that that physician walked into the room and looked at us and said, "You have cancer." I really want to now shift to an example of why it's so important for everyone to participate in this year's 2020 Closer to Free Ride, not just to celebrate the 10 years of advancements that Smilow has made in partnership with the Yale Cancer Center in New Haven, but for all the folks today and as we broadcast this on Sunday and next week and the months to follow, every day here in Connecticut and at Smilow, that doctor is walking into somebody's room. It could be the room of a parent or a loved one, a child, a coworker, but every day someone is learning that they have cancer, and Smilow is making such a huge difference. I really hope that that folks will join myself and Steve in coming on and participating in some way, shape, or form with the ride. And as we're hearing from Kevin Walsh, you don't have to actually even ride a bike. You could actually do it with your own good 2 feet. So with that being said, if you do want to learn more, you can go to rideclosertofree.org and get signed up and learn all you need to learn, and then join them on September 12th excuse me, for the opening ceremony and all facets of the ride virtually. I want to introduce Steve Chase once again, and don't want to spend a lot of time setting up the story, because nobody tells it better than Steve himself. Steve, once again, great to meet you. Thanks for joining us. And let's get started just kind of talking about the lead up to the day when the doctor walked into your room and said those fateful three words, "You've got cancer."
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And it's, anytime is a good time to talk about this. So right off the bat, back in 2012, just a typical day at work, bumped my head, had a grand mal seizure, which lasted quite a while. I was taken down to down to Yale, of course. And within a couple of hours, they determined that I had a mass on my brain. We didn't know at that time exactly what it was. It wouldn't be until, I guess, after October, after surgery, when they did the pathology on it, that they knew that it was cancer. So then we immediately jumped into chemo, and we did chemo for 10 months. And coming right out of chemo, within 3 weeks, I was on my first Close to Free Ride. Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and you bring up an interesting point, Steve. That you know, that inadvertent bump on the head may have actually, in some way, shape, or form, saved your life, because it put you in a position to get the diagnosis that you got as a result, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, to this day, I'm so thankful for that. I mean, how often do you say that you're thankful for a bump on the head? But that was a good bump on the head, and it got me on the right path. Obviously, with the the people that they have at Smilo, they're the best in the business, bar none. I don't have to tell you because you've lived it. But yeah, I mean, that's the reason I'm here, and they, what they do every single day for us, and how, just the way that we can get along because of them, the way that we deal with things, the way, everything that they've done for me, it's just incredible. I mean, I can't say anything more than, you know, they've just been incredible.
Excellent. Well, we're going to hear a lot more about it when we come back from the break. People may have missed him, Steve, saying that this initial diagnosis came in 2012, and now they're doing the math going, wow, it's 2020. There's good news and bad news that comes with that longevity. We're going to hear about mostly the good news that has resulted from your relationship with Smilo, Steve Chase. We'll be back to talk more about Smilo Cancer Center, the Yale Cancer Center, and this year's 10th annual Closer to Free Ride. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Do you volunteer for or receive services from any of the hundreds of nonprofit agencies, community groups, and grassroots organizations in our region? Or maybe you're just looking for ways to help. If your favorite nonprofit is hosting a fundraiser or community building activity, or you'd like to find one that's supporting a nonprofit in your neighborhood, just go to our radio station website, hit the events tab, and find out how to promote it, or discover some of the many causes supported by Connoisseur Media. I'm John Voquette, your public affairs director here at Connoisseur Media, and we'll be back to the award-winning For the People right after this news. As the Faxon Law New Haven Road Race goes virtual, there'll be a number of changes to the annual event. This year, the race is including a new contest for all participants, the Why I Run Faxon Law video contest sponsored by Alexion. The race is asking those interested to create a short video explaining why they run the Faxon Law New Haven Road Race, what makes the race special, and why they'll participate this year, even as the event goes virtual. Get creative and have fun. Video submissions will be narrowed down to 3 to 5 finalists by a panel of judges from the New Haven Road Race Board. All you need to do is take it and post your video on Instagram or Facebook with the hashtag #WhyIRunFaxonLaw and tag at New Haven Road Race. This is John Voquette from the award-winning For the People. We're back with Steve Chase, cancer survivor, fellow cancer survivor, and Kevin Walsh is also with us. He's a VP of Development at Yale New Haven Hospital, and we are celebrating the 10th annual Smilo Cancer Center Closer to Free Ride. It's coming up on September 12th. This year, it is being done in a combination of virtually and individually. Of course, it's not safe to get all of the people together that normally participate in the Closer to Free Ride to do it in up close and in person, but they are still having the ride this year as people do it individually and virtually, and as always, 100% of the funds raised go to the unparalleled research and care at Smilo and Yale Cancer Center. We're going to hear more about it from Steve Chase. So Steve, one of the things that you mentioned before we went on the break was you hinted at the collaboration and the kind of collegial nature of your experience with Smilo, and that's something I also found going into the cancer experience. It was pretty scary, and I thought I was going to be constantly barraged with a lot of high-level information and jargon and scientific cancer talk. But the thing that I found most incredible about my Smilo experience, and I think you share that, is that you become an equal member of the team, even though you may only be in your first days, weeks, or months of your cancer experience. You're brought in with medical professionals and technical support. Some of these people have 20, 30, 40 years of experience, but you're treated like you're an integral part of the program, right?
Absolutely. I can't say enough about that. I mean, that's from day one, just going through the diagnosis, going through the surgeries, all the things that I've been through, I can't say it any clearer than it's a giant team. It's a giant family. It is literally a family. From the day I walked in there, my wife and I, it's like going home for us. I know that sounds strange, but it's literally, it's like going home for us. Smilo is like a part of our home. I know it sounds weird, but it's fun. I look forward to going there. Not that I want treatment and all that other stuff, but I mean, I do look forward to going there.
Yeah. Well, tell us a few of the benchmark points on your journey, going back to, when you got diagnosed in 2012, hit us with a few of the things that the people who might be facing a diagnosis themselves may be interested in that you experienced.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. With my diagnosis, and it sounds kind of dire, when I first came to Smilo, they gave me my diagnosis. You know, they never said, you know, 10 years, this 5 years, whatever it may be. But doing, you know, when you get sick and something happens, first thing you do is you jump on the internet and dig up all their stuff. And they're like, oh, that's it. I'm dead. It's all gone. But, when I went in there, they never gave me that kind of stuff. They never told me it was going to be this long. That one, they spoke to me like, you know, an equal, they treated me like an equal. And from day one, I felt like I was a part of that team. And to this day, I still do. I mean, I was at Smilo yesterday, I think, or the day before, whatever. But it's just, you walk in there and they're confident, and they know what they're doing, and you're in great hands. You're in great hands when you go in there.
Mm-hmm. You also, I see from the chronology that there was also, you know, kind of an unwanted a component to your care, in that you contracted MRSA.
Yeah, well, that was actually that was something different. That actually had nothing to do with my care. That was I just happened to have this bump on my leg. It was not related to that at all. So that I really don't know where that came from, but I had this bump on my leg since I was a kid, and all of a sudden it went bad, I guess. Mm. And that was I think it was last year, right around this time.
And the folks on your team worked with you through that too, and got you a great referral.
Oh my goodness, yeah. I mean, yeah, absolutely. The team that I am on, and it is completely a team. It's nothing but a team. It's a bunch of family and people together. They were with me step by step through the whole thing, and that's, you know, I couldn't ask for a better family, honestly.
So where do you stand today as we talk here in the last couple of days of August 2020?
Well, we just recently had an MRI about, 2-3 weeks ago, and my cancer is back. So with all due, you know, we quickly jumped on board. That's one of the things I love about Smilo, is when there's something wrong, they jump right on it, and they're jumping on it right now. I'm going in for brain surgery Monday, this coming Monday. Mm-hmm. So that's what's on the horizon for right now.
Yeah. And through it all, you've also been a really great promoter and participant in the Closer to Free Ride, as I guess Kevin had done a few times as well. You have, it looks like, doing the quick math here, collectively raised somewhere just south of $100,000 for the center, or do I have that number? Am I undershooting that?
Yeah, a little bit. Right now, since our team started, we are at $154,000.
Excellent. And you and your wife and your sister-in-law are participating. Oh, I'm sorry. You have 34 members on the team Steve this year, right?
Yes, we do. Yeah. We have a great team. It's funny, because when I think about it, it shouldn't be called Team Steve, although it is, but because it's really not about one particular person at all. It's about all of us. But the funny thing about the Closer Free Ride is that when you're there, team really doesn't mean anything, because everybody, it's just like one great big family. I mean, we have fun with it. We have fun with our teams and our shirts and everything else. But the truth of the matter is, it's just one big family.
Very good. Well, we want to make a lot more people part of that big family on behalf of Steve and myself and all the folks who are cancer survivors here in Connecticut, and particularly those who have found comfort and healing and support and therapies through Smilo Cancer Center and Yale Cancer Center. Back to Kevin Walsh, who's VP of Development for Yale New Haven Hospital. Kevin, in the last minute or two that we have for folks that may have joined us in process, just hit them again with the key points they need to know about getting involved with the 10th annual Smilo Cancer Center Closer to Free Ride coming up on September 12th.
Well, the easiest thing to do, John, would be to go to our website, www.ridecloserTofree.org, and register as a rider or volunteer. And what's beautiful this year is you don't have to travel into New Haven on September 12th. You can ride in Darien. You can ride in Cromwell. You can ride in Rocky Hill. You can ride, you know, around your house someplace. So it's going to be a lot easier to participate this year, and we're finding a lot more people are taking advantage of that fact. In fact, our colleagues at Greenwich Hospital are setting up a dozen stationary bikes outside of the hospital, and for 4 hours on September 12th, they're going to be rotating people in and out, in and on those bikes to raise money for Smilo Cancer Hospital and Yale Cancer Center. So we are really pleased, and I'm pleased to say that we have over 1,700 participants already registered, and we're going to allow fundraising through the end of the year. So again, go to ridecloserTofree.org and please register. And I can tell you, Steve hit it on the head, because it is one big family, and I'm proud to be a part of it. This would have been my 9th consecutive ride.
Fantastic. Well, Kevin Walsh and Steve Chase, thanks for participating on the program this morning and telling us more about the ride. You know, from the moment you register for this redesigned 2020 Closer to Free Ride, you're going to be part of the awesome Closer to Free Ride community and have access to a variety of activities and programs all available online for you on the day of the ride and leading up to it. We hope you'll participate and help support the effort 10 years strong, bringing life and life-changing research to the world right here out of New Haven and Smilo Cancer Center and Yale Cancer Center. Go to ridecloserTofree.org to participate, and hopefully on September 12th, we will see the streets and yards and porches of Connecticut full of folks participating in this year's virtual ride. So thanks, guys. We'll see you out on the road. It's always great to wrap up the program with a dear friend. I'm talking about Deb Greenwood. She's president and CEO of the Center for Family Justice, which is the latest iteration of an agency that has been doing incredible good in the greater Bridgeport area for many, many years and decades. The Center for Family Justice provides free and confidential trauma-informed services and coordinates care for all victims and survivors of domestic violence, sexual violence, human trafficking, and child abuse in Fairfield County, and providing cutting-edge prevention, education, and training in communities to create social change. Deb, on any given day, that introduction encompasses a lot, but over the past few months, with the challenges that COVID-19 has kind of thrust on us, and all that's going on in the world with social change and racial justice, you guys are kind of the pivot point around which an entire universe spins. Tell us a couple of the things that are happening in your jurisdiction and the ways that the center is kind of really at the forefront in providing relief, support, and education, both in terms of the heightened level of violence that we're hearing about against women and children, human trafficking, and all that's going on in terms of racial justice. You're right there in the middle of it.
We sure are. And thank you, John, for having me on today. We always appreciate the ability to raise awareness of the mission of the Center for Family Justice. And, you know, since the COVID-19 came into all of our lives across the country, we also had to pivot very quickly and figure out how to remotely go and be safe with our staff, the clients, and everyone else. And I will say within about 48 to 72 hours, we were able to successfully get that done. That's thanks to the expertise of the staff here that were able to get us working at our home offices or kitchen tables or all the things that we know other folks are doing across the country. But the most important thing was we never stopped working with the victims that are being affected by abuse. And the hotlines were on 24/7. They never stopped. Individuals had a harder time because, number one, everyone else, and we think about it for those of us that were working remotely, what happens to a victim that is living home with the person who is the abuser? And I think that's the question that, you know, was on our mind immediately. And so much of what we had to do had to look a bit differently. What do I mean by that? We could only reach out to certain individuals because if we were the person that was assertively trying to get in touch with someone, we had to know that they might have the perpetrator right in the next room or right next to them. So we had to be patient. We had to hope that we were trying to connect with them in any way we could and be available if someone could call the hotlines at 3 o'clock in the morning, be able to respond immediately, and individuals were answering those hotlines. We had to be able to have things that we could read into, whether it was online, whether it was texting, whether, again, it was a message that was being left that gave us a red flag to keep people safe. Mm. And I think I keep calling it the second pandemic, as March became very, very quiet. We saw towards April that it started to become active again, people calling, people reaching out. Our other mindset was we also deal with so many children in the greater Bridgeport area and surrounding towns. They're not in school. They're safe place. Who will they tell if something's happening to them? Many times children are not just the secondary victim living in an abusive household, but they are the primary victim for sexual assault because, again, that perpetrator might be living with them. So lots of concerns, lots of conversations, being able to remotely get information out, keeping our websites up to speed, trying to make sure that every single hotline call across our state that might be coming through, that we were responding as fast as possible. So the world of Zoom, as we all know it today, picked up steam. I mean, we were not using that. We were always meeting in person and having conversations. We had to triple up on a daily basis to have conversations to help each other say, okay, here's what I'm dealing with, and have a stronger communication. And honestly, that happened across our whole state coalition, where there are 18 member agencies that support domestic violence victims and 9 that do sexual violence. And then there's agencies like ours that do both, as well as work with children who are affected by abuse, whether it's sexual violence or physical or verbal, emotional, all those things that use the word abuse in them. So, as we started to reopen in July, we started to see that the calls continued. We had a reentry right after the 4th of July and are slowly starting to see individuals as they're coming through our doors and taking all the safety measures that so many of our businesses, small, big, and corporate America had to do. We're no different. We need to put sneeze guards up and take temperatures and we're wearing masks and social distancing and all those things because we need to. We all need to do that.
And but still, I will say, still making it happen for the agency. I just want to let people know. Deb Greenwood is with us. She's president and CEO for the Center for Family Justice. Very easy website, centerforfamilyjustice.org, to go to learn more about all the work that they do, ways that you can make a difference through your support and volunteerism, ways they can make a difference to you if you are a victim or survivor of domestic violence, sexual violence, human trafficking, and child abuse. Aside from the massive amount of work that the center does in terms of response to these victims, they are also engaged in social justice, particularly around the subject of human trafficking. And that brings us to the last few minutes that we have with you this morning, Deb, and why this year's Speaking of Women event is so important, due to your keynote being a victim of human trafficking, right?
That's correct. Rachel Lloyd, yes.
Tell us more about the event.
Sure. Thank you. So this will be our 23rd annual Speaking of Women luncheon. This year, it will be virtually for all the reasons that I just mentioned and everyone else that cannot have a gathering. And we would normally attract anywhere from 450 to 600 people at the beautiful Waterview in Monroe. Well, this year, we are just not going to be together. We will not be sitting down to dine together. But what we will be doing is still having the same incredible luncheon with a keynote speaker and a survivor speaker to raise proceeds to help support the 4,500 plus individuals we see every year. Rachel Lloyd is actually part of our state certification that we offer to our communities three times a year. Rachel has started a group several years ago as a former victim of human and sex trafficking called GEMS. And it's a girls empowerment and mentoring program in New York City. Mm. But she wrote a book called Girls Like Us. I would strongly encourage anyone, if you're looking to read about what happens to young girls as well as young boys that get caught in the web of sex and human trafficking, which is more frequent than we know. Again, one of the most undocumented and underreported crime that happens to individuals. So Rachel will be speaking to us virtually this year on September the 22nd at 12 noon. And people can buy a ticket online on our website or just call us, whatever is the easiest modality to get entry into the virtual website that will have the opportunity to hear Rachel speak, hear from a survivor speaker from the Center for Family Justice, and talk about what she endured, what Rachel endured while she was a victim.
Well, with that in mind, we don't want to pass up the opportunity to make sure that we share with the folks listening that, of course, they can go to centerforfamilyjustice.org to get tickets and information on the September 22nd Speaking of Women event. But we also want to make sure you know that the center is there, as you heard earlier in our chat with Deb, 24/7. If you are a domestic violence survivor or victim, you can call 203-384-9559. And if you are a sexual violence victim, it's 203-333-2233 to get through to the organization, to get the help that they can provide, the help that you need to get out of the cycle of abuse and exploitation and violence in your household. We hope that folks will participate in the Speaking of Women event, because with all the talk and all the passion about social justice, it sort of is the dirty little thing that's not spoken about, human trafficking, but it is alive and well and happening right here in our towns and cities in Connecticut. And you'll hear more about that during the Speaking of Women event, September 22nd. In the meantime, Deb Greenwood, we thank you for being part of our program and helping us close it out this morning. Deb is president and CEO of the Center for Family Justice. Centerforfamilyjustice.org is their website. Visit them and learn more. And we hope you can support their Speaking of Women event this year. Deb, thanks so much for being on the program.
You've been listening to our award-winning public affairs program for the people. The opinions expressed on this broadcast represent those of our guests and host. If you have a suggestion for an issue, a guest, or a PSA relevant to the audience and community served by our radio station, you must make a request for consideration in writing to me via email at john.voquette@connoisseurct.com. We do not accept pitches or requests for coverage by phone. Remember, no part of this program may be copied, disseminated, or rebroadcast. Our public file detailing the many critical community and state issues addressed on For the People can be reviewed upon request during normal business hours at 440 Wheeler's Farms Road in Milford or on our station website. Our theme music is by Rick Miller and Scott's, with original music by Noel Viette. I'm Director of Public Affairs, John Voquette. Join us again this time next week for more conversation and information on the award-winning For the People. And don't forget, you can listen to this and other For the People podcasts anytime on iTunes or under the podcast tab on our station's website. Until this time next week, thanks for listening.